No more sin. Three words. No more sin. What if I were to ask you? You don't have to answer now publicly, but be thinking about this. What do you consider to be your heaviest burden? What is your deepest sorrow? We all have them. What is your deepest sorrow? It most likely isn't the loss of a loved one or living with regrets. It most likely isn't frustration with coworkers, deadlines, or disobedient children. For the Christian, the answer should be pretty straightforward. My heaviest burden and my deepest sorrow is sin. Battling sin, as believers do, we grow weary. If we are honest, there are plenty of times when we are downright weary with ourselves. Our sin causes collateral damage around us. Our sin and our history with sin torments our minds at times. Our sin, our own sin, grieves our hearts. Sin, even more than the devastating effects of sin, is the deepest sorrow of the Christian's heart. A desire to be like Christ, and yet daily confronted with the reality and presence of sin. It troubles us. At times, even devastates us. I feel like there are many times in my life where I can relate to King David, who in Psalm 38 says, "For my iniquities have gone over my head. Like a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." That is actually the reference used on page 1 of Pilgrim's Progress when Christian is pictured. Like that heavy burden that John Bunyan so wonderfully illustrated in that great book. Yes, sin is heavy. It weighs on us. Resisting sin and temptation just wearies us at times. Sin's torments may even haunt us from time to time. We feel like we are plagued by sin, its remnants, its effects, its temptations. And it is all around us. There's no shortage of sin. No shortage of opportunities to sin. No shortage of temptations to sin. We don't have to look very far in any given direction, and we are confronted by sin. And yet, the sin around us is not what brings to us our greatest struggle. It is the sin within us. I mean, most Christians are pretty well thought of by people that know them well. Family members, co-workers, friends and associates, they likely look into my life or your life and they think, that guy is a pretty good guy. That old Nathan Crisco, he's an upstanding citizen. Those are good people over in that church. This is the way the world views us. They don't associate our lives with adultery or murder or stealing or gambling. They say those are pretty good people. I wouldn't mind having Jason Courtney as my neighbor. But with whatever compliments that come our way, we think to ourselves, well, you don't really know me. We can look into our own hearts and we know better. If I could show you my heart, is what we want to say. You wouldn't think what you think about me. If my thoughts were projected onto a TV screen, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying about me. There is so much in here not to like. And this kind of self-knowledge isn't uncommon amongst God's people. It's somewhat ironic, but the holier a man becomes, the more sensitive he or she is to sin. The closer we draw to the Savior, the brighter the light of His presence shines through us and around us, the more clearly we see the sin around us and in us. That is why, so often, I think it is a good general rule of thumb, the holiest Christians are amongst the most humble Christians. So the fact is, the battle with sin is very real. Very real. Sometimes you may feel like you're just barely treading water in that battle, and other times you may feel like you're drowning. Despair can set in. We struggle to hold on to hope. We feel like we're just fighting to stay in the fight. And then we face failures. And we sin, blatant sin. It's obviously sin. What do we do now? Well, the road to recovery is hard. That's not an easy path either. And sin isn't just going to leave us alone. I give you a break while you recover. Sin never said that. There are no timeouts with sin. Unlike the boxer, there's no corner or break between rounds. It's a continual fight against sin. And sadly, I think we can all relate to this, we tend to hold on to our falls and failures much longer than we hold on to the victories. We rejoice in the victories that God gives us, yes, for a short season, but we tend to linger in disappointment and grief over our failures and falls into sin. So this runs deep, and the battle is hard. It's very real, and it's something every believer is confronted with today. You know this, don't you? The battle is hard. I know this. Never did our Savior promise it would be otherwise. He said, I send you out as sheep amongst wolves. That we would have to endure tribulation, persecution, even the effects of sin. So now that I've set the stage this morning, I want you to consider the reality with me that there is a day coming soon, in which there will be no more sin. That's right. No more sin. I've broken the message down into two basic parts. Number one, deliverance from sin. We are freed from slavery to sin. Did you get that? Deliverance from sin. We are freed from slavery to sin. Number two, done with sin. We are freed from sin itself, from sin's presence. So deliverance from sin here and now, and then one day done with sin. Praise the God of grace. Yeah, Darius says. Deliverance from sin. Freed from slavery to sin. I want you to think with me. I believe you've encountered this as you've been reading your Bibles. We read certain things in the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, and we feel a bit of a tension because there is a now and not yet reality to certain truths in the Scripture. There's a way in which we must view certain aspects of the Christian life. So when it comes to our salvation, for example, we can say that we are a saved people, and yet our full salvation awaits us. Right? You've heard it said that I am saved. I am being saved. I will one day fully be saved. It's a now and not yet. There is a progression. There is an ongoing work of God in us that will one day, according to Philippians 1, be brought to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. We have it all right now, but we have not experienced it all right now. This is an amazing reality, and I'm getting somewhere. We're sanctified, but not wholly sanctified. We're declared righteous. We're not wholly righteous. W-H-O-L-L-Y. We are saints, meaning holy ones. But we're still struggling against sin. What is going on here? Now and not yet. The victory ours through Christ. But Abigail, you must fight on. The proper biblical understanding of now and not yet is important to keep in mind as we read our Bibles. Heresies are birthed when this framework is tossed aside and the not yet is pressed into the now. It's problematic and very confusing. Now and not yet. And none of this changes the fact that we have been delivered. That is past tense. The life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the deliverance we need. We have been delivered. So Christians are those who have been delivered, set free from the captivity we were in. We aren't in bondage to sin and Satan any longer. That is true. Jesus Christ has brought us out of Egypt. That is true. As the hymn writer says, our chains fell off. Our heart was free. We rose, went forth, and follow thee. The fact that we are still struggling against sin doesn't diminish the great deliverance already accomplished on our behalf. Because that very same deliverance on Calvary's cross has acquired all things for us. All things, including our full and final deliverance from sin forever. Though we haven't experienced that yet, if you're in Christ, you've tasted of it already. Tasted of it. The breaking of sin's power over us in regeneration is very real. We were slaves to sin prior to the new birth. Sin mastered us. It owned us. But now, by the grace of God, sin's power over us has been dealt a death blow. We have gloriously transitioned from slaves to sin to slaves to righteousness. All of this accomplished by Christ on the cross. This and so much more. So we must guard against ever getting this point of doctrine confused. The now and the not yet. We have been delivered and presently walk in a state of deliverance. Sin is not your master, though it pretends at times to be so. Once you were at sin's beck and call, you were mastered, you must comply, you were a slave. Now everything has changed. Sin can merely influence, tempt, and whisper in your ear. Sin has been dethroned, it no longer owns you. Romans 6 comes to mind. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. That is true. That is done. That is a part of this deliverance. And yet, though everything has changed, everything will change once more. This blessed deliverance from sin and its power is complete and isn't complete yet. As the TV infomercials say, and there's more. Those silly offers, right? They start with one for $19.95, and by the end of the program, you get like 20 for $19.95 and free shipping. Basically, they will pay you to take their product. There's more. In the gospel, there's more. There's much more. We have experienced deliverance from sin's power, but that is not the end of our deliverance. Let's consider together some of what the New Testament says about this. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. This is the word of God. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. I'll just stop there. Are you seeing pretty clearly in that text the now and the not yet? Beloved, right now you are God's child. If you're in Christ, this is true of you. Yet what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. Now and not yet. I could look every Christian in the face and say a couple of things. Really, we could say hundreds of things. I'm just trying to stay on topic. But I could say that you are Christ-like, right? I mean, isn't this what being a Christian is? You're Christ-like. I could say, according to Romans 8:29, a verse that I'll read later, that you are being conformed, actively conformed into the image of God's dear Son. This is true of every Christian. It's not optional. It's what God is doing. This is what you are right now. You're being conformed. You are Christ-like. You are God's children now. But there's something more coming. There is a fullness of these things brewing now, but will come to pass in that day. So don't forget it. Right here, right now, every Christian is a child of God, according to 1 John 3, 2. But there is more to come. What we will be hasn't yet taken place. But when Jesus appears, He's going to wrap up this full deliverance and bring it all to pass. Every promise to pass. So yes, the Christian has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. But I tell you, there is a final washing to come. We have been sanctified, but there is a full sanctification to come. We have been cleansed, but there is a forever cleansing that awaits us. So much of the now struggle is meant to make us hunger and thirst for the not yet that is around the corner, for that full, final, complete, forever deliverance. You sit there in your pity party and we think to ourselves, I'm guilty of this too, why the struggle? And we just forget that God is all wise and that He has purposes for these things. Well, one of the purposes, dear believer, is that you would hunger like never before for that day to come. The day of Jesus Christ, when your completeness and perfection and sinlessness. You think of the false doctrine of sinless perfection? It's really not all that false. They just had the timeline wrong. Yeah, we do believe in sinless perfection. So is this struggle, followed by an increasing hunger and thirst, has this been your experience? Do you daydream of things to come? No more sin. King David, I think, daydreamed of these things. Psalm 17, verse 15, as for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake in that day, I will be satisfied with your likeness. I think King David daydreamed about these things. So, brethren, we have been delivered from sin, freed from slavery to sin. But there's more. This leads to the second part. Done with sin. Freed from sin forever. One day, and y'all just imagine with me. One day soon, we will depart this life and enter into the presence of Jesus Christ. We've covered that already in this series of teachings. We will transition in an instance from the state of no longer being dominated by sin to the state of no longer experiencing sin and its effects at all. We will move from no longer suffering under the power of sin to no longer suffering from the presence of sin. Did I just say that? Could that be true? If you're here this morning and you're a believer and your heart does not leap with joy, wake up. I'm talking about a time that is coming soon for you and me where there is no more sin. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect. The King James says, and to what, the soul of just men made perfect, or to the spirit of just men made perfect? Did you hear that? Righteous, made perfect. You, believer, are righteous here and now. It's the declaration of God of you. But you're being made actually righteous. And in that day, that work will be perfected. That is the place where the righteous, the justified, are made perfect. Yes, once we depart this life, we will be numbered amongst the righteous ones who are then made perfect in holiness. Made perfect in holiness. If you're not a believer, that sounds terrible to you. But if you're a believer, that is the longing of your heart, to be made perfect in holiness. According to Revelation chapter 21, verse 27, this building upon this theme of perfect holiness in heaven, no more sin in heaven, we read that nothing unclean will ever enter there. Nothing unclean. Is there a possibility of sin in heaven, people have asked? I mean, Adam and Eve were created as they were created, and yet they fell into sin. Is it possible that there could be sin in heaven? Not according to these passages we're considering. no more sin. And it's written in stone. It's unchanging. No more sin. Thus, there will be a further deliverance to come that takes place both in us and all around us in heaven. Not only will we shed this body of death that Paul speaks of in Romans 7 and the flesh that has so troubled and plagued us in our lives on earth, but the presence of sin in heaven will be eradicated once and for all. No unclean thing means no unclean thing. In heaven, our heart will instantly and only know purity, because heaven is a place of transcendent purity. We will finally be pure, even as He is pure. 1 John 3:3. This final purification will be so complete, and we then enter into the presence of our dear Savior, having been cleansed from every trace, every remnant of sin. This is why Revelation so often pictures the saints in white robes, white, speaking of purity and righteousness. Think of it, church. No more sin. Three simple words, three one-syllable words. No more sin. J.C. Ryle says it like this: now we are tossed upon a stormy sea, then we shall be safe in harbor. Now we have to plow and sow, there we shall reap the harvest. Now we have the labor, then the wages. Now we have the battle, then the victory and reward. Now we must need bear the cross, but then we shall receive the crown. Now we are journeying through the wilderness, but then we shall be at home. No more sin. Can you even imagine what all that will mean? What if, think with me, we all went to sleep tonight? God willing, that'll be the case. And yet when we woke up in the morning, there was this one drastic change in the earth. No more sin. You think things would be any different? Of course. Alistair Price would say, of course, Mr. Dodd. Of course they would be different. The whole planet would be transformed. Every aspect of life would be radically different. I'm not even sure that if we were to meditate and anticipate this day and think on this theme all the days, all the years of our life, the whole not yet reality, the reality of no more sin, I am not even sure we can grasp a fraction of what that will actually mean. No more sin. How significant. But it doesn't really matter whether we grasp it or not. We know it's a good thing, and we ought to be expecting it, longing for it, anticipating it, because this is just one more of those precious promises of the gospel that Christ has purchased for all who believe. Romans 8:29, I referenced it earlier. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Right now, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God wrote that story, and God is performing that work. He predestined it. He does not fail. Thus, He will bring it to pass. In that day, not this day, in that day, we will be fully and finally conformed. It is coming, brothers and sisters. Here and now is the conforming process. Then we will say conformed. Conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Pure, even as He is pure. The prayer that we have prayed, all of us, I think, familiar with the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Yep, that prayer will be fully and finally answered in that day. In heaven, there won't be any barriers or hindrances to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There won't be any more clouds between us and our Savior. No more divided heart within us. No more slothfulness or weariness to overcome. No more distractions. No more appeals from the world shouting, bye, bye, bye. No more temptations to sin. No more selfishness. No more pretended holiness. No more deceiving one another. No more fiery darts from Satan. No more sin. That is true of every believer sitting here. Edward Donnelly says, "The truth that we will be perfect in heaven is a clarion call to courage and hope. Take heart, children of God," it says. "Those sins of yours are temporary. Their death sentence has been pronounced, and they are already doomed. The moment your souls enter heaven, they will all cease to exist, blotted out, extinguished, thrown into the depths of the sea. No more sin." This is absolutely fantastic news. The greatest thing we will experience in heaven is Jesus Himself. The greatest thing we won't experience in heaven is no more sin. Yep, I'm looking forward to not experiencing something in heaven. So much we gain, so much we lose, but it is the best kind of loss. No more sin. Done with it. Praise God. This is every Christian's future. I'll close with a story of a thief in Japan who became a Christian. He knew basically nothing about the Bible. And on the first Sunday after his conversion, he went to visit a church. All week long, he had been wrestling with his lifelong habit of thievery, stealing. And he realized, having this changed heart and new disposition, that he'll have to give up this sin. But he wasn't sure he'd be able to do it. Thieving had been his way of life. It was all that he knew. He didn't really know how else to spend his time. How could this kind of behavioral pattern change after so many years? Well, on the wall of the church building to which he entered that Sunday were painted the Ten Commandments. The new convert had never heard of them. But as he walked into the building, the first words upon which his eyes fell were, "Thou shalt not steal." In his ignorance, he didn't realize that this was a commandment. But he took it instead for a promise. His face filled with joy. And he thanked the Lord in his heart for this assurance that he would be delivered from this sin. That is true of you and me, dear Christian. So be joyful, saints. This is really, really good news. And it's good news that we should entertain far more frequently than we do. All that we're going to gain, all the sin that we're going to lose. I mean, how can you beat this kind of deal? We could call each other every morning and say, I've got this great news. Do you know what's about to happen? And it is about to happen. You and I will lay our head on a pillow just a few more nights. And then this. It is coming. So thank God for the assurance that you too will one day be fully and finally delivered from sin.